The exit story is told in Christian churches, Hebrew synagogues, and in Muslim mosques. This is a story of God's people. For God's people, the Exodus story happens every day. Throughout history, for God's people, the Exodus is always a potential possibility. It's a powerful story, and over these next several weeks in a sermon series entitled Out of Egypt, Let My People Go, we'll be looking at and trying to understand what it has meant to God's people throughout the ages, as well as what it means to us today. Today's message is entitled, Journeying from Who Am I to Here Am I. Last week, we looked at how the people God calls to tasks of leadership are sometimes unexpected, and frequently they're folks without power. And today we're looking at a specific call story, the story of Moses and the burning bush. Now, in our first look at the Exodus story, we said that one of the most important things to sort of keep in mind about this story is that it tries to tell us truthful things about God. And today, we're going to be reminded that not only does it try to tell us truthful things about God, but it also tries to tell us truthful things about those following God. You see, Moses wasn't exactly what modern big business would consider leadership material. He spoke with a lisp. He had a short fuse. He plotted a murder and then ran away from his troubles only to marry outside of his heritage. He had gone from slave to prince to sheep herder in a very short period of time. Moses was also a bit of a loner, a bit of an outsider, and he probably knew it. Sort of explains his response to God. When God comes to Moses, a booming voice out of a bush that while on fire is not consumed, a voice that knows Moses' heritage and the plight of his people, when that very voice of God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey, Moses says, who am I? Who am I to lead people? Basically, he's saying, look, you got the wrong guy. I'm not capable of doing this. Moses trusted his own assessment of himself over God's. Ultimately, that means that Moses didn't know himself and what he was capable of. God, however, knew what Moses was capable of, which makes Moses' words, who am I? All the more revealing. Moses really did not know. But in the course of our story, God turns Moses' who am I into a here I am I, simply by telling Moses, I am who I am. I'd like to begin our consideration with one of my favorite retellings of this Exodus story. It's called When Moses Burned Inside the Burning Bush. It's written by rabbis Arthur Ocean Wasco and Phyllis Ocean Berman. Moses chased after the dancing lamb just as it disappeared around the side of the mountain. Tripped, he cut his knee, lost a sandal in a bramble patch. He arose, hobbling, saw another patch of brambles burning. Yelling, oh my God, he rushed to clear a firebreak lest flames spread to the other dry thorn bushes around the mountain. His other sandal clattered unheeded from the path. He tripped and he fell into the blazing bush, moaning, oh my God, stop burning, stop. You're making my throat burn raw. Oh my God, my throat, oh my God, my shame. Oh God, I left my people. I ran. I saw them suffering. I burned with anger. I ran, oh God, I ran. My eyes, they should be burning with a vision for their happiness. Instead, they're burning blind and helpless, hopeless. Oh my God, my eyes burning, my throat burning. Oh God, cool my throat, sweeten my throat. Speak through my throat like honey. Through my eyes like falling cool tears. The voice spoke from the heart, from the earth, from the flames, from the sobbing throat of Moses. I was what I was. I am what I am, but I will be who I will be. Yes, I will be who I will be, and so will they. Aye, I will be. Usher, aye, who I will be. Aye, usher, aye, usher. Who I will be, I will be. Aye, usher, aye, usher, aye, usher. I will be who I will be, who I will be, who I will be. Moses found rivers, oceans, wellsprings of tears pouring down his face, found his arms inscribing in the air before his heart with a spiral in rhythm with the flames and the words that the flames were chanting. So what can be your name to echo through my throat? Your name to bring all your peoples to your hearing? With that question, Moses felt breath rushing through his throat. He heard breath coming from a voice. Just breathe, Moses. The name is Yahweh. Just breathing. The bush breathes out. You breathe in. You breathe out. Pharaoh breathes in. I am the breath of life. If you learn my name, is just like breathing, you will be able to reach across all tongues and boundaries, to pass over all of them, skip over all of them, dance over all of them for birth, for life, and for freedom. Next to Moses, a lamb tumbled and baaed, licked Moses' naked feet. The fire shook and vanished. The bush was gone. Ashes trembled in the wind, settling to mark a pathway down the mountain. The lamb danced downward upon these path of ashes. Moses, exhausted and exhilarated, limping after the lamb, began to imitate its skipping. God only knows where the dance is going to take us, he muttered. He turned back to look at the summit of the mountain. It's up to you, he shouted. I have no idea where we're heading. Freedom, what a chance, what a dance we're taking. And turned to follow, stumbling along the pathway. In that story, in the story of the Exodus, God reminds Moses that God is the very breath of life. And in Hebrew, God answers Moses, Eye Asher Eye, or sometimes referred to Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is where we get the word Yahweh for God. In the story, Moses is reminded that God is the very breath of life. As the flames of the bush lapped at the oxygen, God reminded Moses that every breath he takes is a reminder of who God is, Yahweh. And because Moses understood himself to be a child of Yahweh, it reminds him of who he is. Who am I? Who am I that I should be chosen by God? Who am I that I should take up the cause of God? God's answer is this: you are mine and I am Yahweh. The Israelites believed that the name of something or someone revealed power over or of that person or individual. To know someone's name meant a certain power over them. So when Moses asked for God's name, he's not only asking for insight into God, he's seeking to have some power over God. However, when he received God's name, he changed. Aye, Asher, Aye. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. In those words, I am who I am, Moses' who am I becomes here I am. The who am I ends with a question mark. But the here I am does not necessarily end with this inverse of an exclamation point. God doesn't call us just to jump into the deep end with an exclamation point on it. See, Moses still has his doubts. He no longer lacks commitment, though. He tests the waters. At first, it's just a toe in the shallows as he questions God about how all of this will work. Then he goes waist deep as he makes preparations to confront the leader of Egypt. And before long, he's swimming in the waters of faith as he confronts Pharaoh and his court with only a stick in his cloak. God doesn't call us to jump into the deep end. God only calls us to trust in the love of God and be committed to that love. In moving Moses from who am I to here am I, God also teaches us another lesson. God is a God of change. God is not stagnant. God does not rest in one place. From the very beginning, God was a God of new things. From turning chaos into creation, from turning flood into a new life, from turning a slave into a savior, a boy into a hero, a baby into salvation for the world, God is always changing the world around us in the most surprising way, calling us to be committed to the vision. We started this message by saying that there might be something of a lesson in this story for us as well. And I believe it clearly is there. We all have our own fears. If we're honest enough, we also have our own self-described shortcomings. And if we focus on either of those too much, we also have self-imposed limitations. Let me back up and repeat that. We all have our self-described shortcomings, our own fears. And if we focus on them too much, we also have self-imposed limitations. So we can learn a lot by recognizing that God hears the cry of Moses and ultimately delivers him from his own fears, from his own self-described shortcomings, and from his own self-limitations. The love of God is always trying to do the same for us. With each breath we take, we should be reminded of the love that sustains us and hopes for us. We are being called to what God has planned for us next. But God doesn't call us to just jump into the deep end with an exclamation point at the end. We can still have our doubts. But like Moses, we are to be committed to God's love and to God's vision. See, I just think that God's just not finished with us yet. God's not finished with this church yet. And we are called to be a part of God's vision. We don't have to jump into the deep end. We just have to breathe. Just as we trust in the very breath that sustains us, we must trust in the very God, Yahweh, that sustains us. If we can, if we do, God has an amazing journey in store for us. Yes, it might lead through wildernesses, and yes, there will be grumblings along the way. I can promise you there'll be grumblings along the way. But on the other side, there is a land flowing with milk and honey. On the other side is all that God desires for us. So, placing my trust in Yahweh, with wide-eyed anticipation, I say, let the journey begin.